Hallelujah. Well, this has been a mountaintop experience this week. How many have been able to get in on some of the meetings here at Camp Meeting? And it's been a mountaintop experience. And we realize everybody's different. Some people have been working and maybe weren't able to attend all the meetings. But if not, we encourage you, go and get those meetings and listen. And don't let this season leave you without you hearing and getting under the unction of the Word and the anointing of the Spirit. On YouTube, watch the videos, go and get CDs, go and get MP3s or whatever, however you listen to messages, go and get that digitized form or whatever form it is, and get the Word of God from this week. It's been a mountaintop experience. It's been truly life-changing. And the title of this message tonight is Don't Shrink Back. Look at somebody and tell them, don't shrink back. You know, we've heard lots of Word this week. It's been so good. We've been ministered to by the Word and by the Spirit. But this is not a time to shrink back. Sometimes what people do after a week like this, they say, well, I'm so tired. You know, I've been in a bunch of meetings. Whoo, I'm just going to go and just shrink back and do whatever else I was doing. Don't shrink back. You know, this week should have stretched you and I. This week should have stretched us, should have made us stronger, should have stretched our faith. And this is not the time to shrink back. I wish I had an amen in here. You help me for about 25 minutes. I'll be through with you after about 25 minutes if we, Lord willing. You don't help me, it may take me 35, 40, 55 minutes to get done. I don't know. But if you just give me an amen, I'll get out your way. Listen, don't shrink back. What are you saying? Don't shrink back. That's the title of the message. Don't shrink back. Don't take all of the Word, all of the Spirit that we've had this week, and then go back to your normal routine. I wish I had a bigger amen than that. We have all got to change something different about our routine. Change something. You may have to get up 5 minutes earlier and spend time in prayer. You may have to take time each day and start praying in the Holy Ghost. You may have to take time and to spend extra time in the Word of God. Don't shrink back. Let us not be as those who have been under the anointing of God, under the Word of God, under the powerful Word and anointing of God. And then come Monday morning, we're satisfied to go back to just whatever it was. God didn't bring us this far for us to shrink back. He has stretched us that we might grow firm in our faith, that we might go further in our believing and in our trusting God than ever before. Look at somebody and tell them, don't shrink back. Look at somebody else and tell them, don't shrink back. Yeah, God has done some marvelous things, and oftentimes we're not always aware of all. God's done so many things. Sometimes we're not aware of all the things that God has done. After you get in on a series of meetings like we've been in, you're not always aware of the things that God's done. And as I say, if you haven't heard messages, then make the effort. Make the effort to get into the Word and then, you know, hear what God has to say to you so that you won't shrink back. That message tonight, that title has a twofold meaning because I felt like the Lord wanted me to say that. Don't shrink back. In reference to these mountaintop meetings this past week. But we ought not shrink back at any time in our level of faith and commitment to Jesus Christ. I said we ought not shrink back in our walk with the Lord. Amen. I remember years ago, in fact, 1987, December of 87, my niece and nephew came to live with us. Never forget that. My niece was 11, my nephew was 8. And through some unfortunate circumstances, my sister, their mother, abandoned them. And it was at Christmas time, a few days before Christmas, when my dad called and said, "Your niece and nephew are here. I don't want to call the state. I don't want the state to take them." He said, "I'm too old to raise them. I don't know what to do." He said, "I want you to pray." And anyway, I told him, "Just send them out here to Tulsa." And so after we debated, he sent them. And then we spent 10 years raising them. Yeah. My niece and nephew had never been loved unconditionally. They had never had the influence of a proper father's love and a proper mom's love in their life. And when they experienced it, they didn't know how to receive it, and they didn't know how to believe it, and so they shrunk back from it. And sometimes we'd see them reaching out. They wanted that love so bad, they would just absorb it like a sponge, and then they would shrink back, and they'd feel like, this can't be real. This can't be true. This can't be lasting. And so my nephew in particular, my niece, after a while, she warmed up to how we just loved on her, and And my nephew, he just, he was in turmoil. I remember every day that first school year. He was petrified that he would get off the bus and get to the house and we would have left him. He had like a phobia. You know why? Because that's what he had experienced. That's what his mama did to him. My sister, God love her, she's doing much better these days. But back then, she wasn't doing so good. And so he just had a phobia. They're going to leave me. You're going to leave me. And no matter how much we promised that boy, we are going to be here. One of us will be here. I never forget those days because my wife and I, we worked back-to-back shifts. There was an hour between our shifts at work. And, you know, and then early on, we had one car. So we were, but we couldn't be late getting home because he would freak out. And so we, you know, we made sure one of us was home. And every day, I don't mean occasionally, I mean every day he went to school. I don't mean like every now and then, I mean every day. One of us wrote him a note that said, "We love you and one of us will be here when you get home." And we put that in with his lunch. I mean, every day he went to school, he had to have a note like that to just give him reassurance at lunchtime. He had a handwritten note. He had a handwritten promise from me. It said, I'm going to be here when you get back. I'm not going to leave you. And he needed that just to get through his day. Every day. Wrote the note, put it in his lunch. But I remember after the first school year and then the summer went by. And then, you know, whenever the kids went back to school, late August, you know, they went back to school. And so it was going to be the first day of school, and I was in the kitchen, and I was writing the note for him. He was over in the living room when he hollered out, "Uncle Bill." And I said, "Yes, son." He said, "Uncle Bill," he said, "I know what you're doing up there." I said, "You do?" He said, "Yeah, I know what you're doing." He said, "You're writing me a note from my lunchbox." I said, "That's right." He said, "That note's going to say that you love me." I said, "That note does say that." He said, "That note's going to say that you're going to be here when I get home from school." I said, "It does say that. That note says you're not going to leave me." I said, "It does say that." Then he said this to me. He said, "Uncle Bill, I don't need that note anymore." And that was a happy day for me. I said, "Oh, praise God. Oh, praise God." Because, you know, I felt that way the day before the boy got there. I had that commitment to him. Before he got off the plane coming to Tulsa, I already had that commitment to him. But it took day after day after day, him reading that note day after day after day after day after day after day, and then come home and see I'm there, I'm we're there, day, the note, we're there. And after all of that time, after a whole year went by, he finally had confidence and was able to trust in the love that I had for him. What's the title of this message tonight? Don't shrink back. Yeah. Day after day, he would shrink back. He would try to believe that love, then he would shrink back. Let's go right to the word. I'm reading from the New Living Translation tonight. We're in the book of Romans. Let's go. We're in Romans chapter 8. Go with me to Romans chapter 8. I'm reading from the New Living Translation tonight. God doesn't want you to shrink back. God wants you to understand how vast the depth, the ocean of his love for you is. The depth and the breadth and the height of the love of God in Christ for you. Oh man, we're in Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 28. Let's go. Let me read here. Romans 8, 28, New Living. "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory." And then 31. "Then what shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us?" I'm going to ask that question again. If God is for us, then who can ever be against us? I tell you, when God is for you and I, we need to realize that even if it's just you and God will be a majority. We have to develop our faith and our confidence in the love of God. We can't afford to shrink back. Because when we shrink back in understanding his love for us, then we fall prey to fear and guilt and condemnation and shame and things of that nature. But, oh man, when we become firmly convinced of the love of God, we can rest secure. We can rest secure. Man, when my nephew told me that, when he said, Uncle Bill, I don't need that note, oh man, it just brought joy to my spirit. Because I realized that he finally realized something that was already true about him. Look with me in 1 John chapter 4, New Living Translation. We're going down to around verse 16, 1 John 4 and verse 16, if you will. 1 John 4:16. The scripture says here, we know how much God loves us and we have put our trust in his love. I like that. We know how much God loves us and we have put our trust in his. Let me ask you this tonight. Are you putting all of your trust in God's love tonight? Because there are so many Christian folks who doubt God's love, who doubt that God loves them. And just as I say, my nephew, he struggled. I remember early on, we had gone to, they had only been with us a few days, and we decided to go to a picnic over at La Fortune Park. You know, there's on the Yale side of La Fortune Park, they've got a little picnic area over there. We decided to go for a family picnic. This was years ago. My oldest son, he was just 6 months old, Stephen. My son Stephen, and then my wife, and then my niece and nephew, we went on a picnic. We had a great time at the picnic. And we had this little family thing where we always, real competitive. Somebody would yell, race! And at any given moment, coming from the grocery store, coming from the garage, coming from the mailbox, if somebody in the family yelled, race, we took off running, We're going to see, because they'd always say, the kids would always yell out, the last one's a rotten egg. And so we'd start racing, And so we were just gathering up our stuff, and so somebody yelled, race. And so I grabbed the baby, I grabbed the baby, the bassinet, I grabbed the blanket, and then, man, I started hauling with the baby, and, everybody else grabbed something from the picnic, and they started running, and, man, we're running to the minivan. And I don't know who won that day. We were catching our breath at the minivan when we realized that our nephew was not amongst us. And we waited for him for, a few moments. He didn't come out. From little, it's not a wooded area, but, just trees and stuff. He didn't come out. And so finally, they were asking, my niece said, where is he at? So anyway, I went back to look for him. And he was sitting there where we started, just crying his eyes out. And I said, dude, what are you doing? He said, I thought you were leaving me. I said, dude, what part of race do you think it implies that we're leaving you? We're all having a family race. Last one's a rotten egg. He said, I know that, Uncle Bill, but it just felt like somebody leaving me again. And he struggled to understand how much we loved him, how much we cared for him. And some people are that way with God. And it often shows up in the lives of believers when they haven't had a proper fathering relationship with their own dad. See, I always had a great relationship with my dad. He was a very good man. He wasn't a perfect man, but he was a very good man. My dad always endeavored to keep his word. We always had a great relationship, my dad and I. We were everywhere together. And my dad, if he told you something, then that's the way it would. My friends loved it when we went to the roller skating rink, Capitol Roller Skating Rink on Laylor Street, Trenton, New Jersey. My friends loved it. They'd call and say, hey, is your dad taking you to the skating rink tonight? And if I said yes, they'd say, can I get a ride? You know what? Because they knew they could count on my dad. If dad said, I'll be there at 10:30 when that skating rink closes or whatever time it was, then you'd see that green 1970 Oldsmobile 98. You could see it around the corner. You didn't even have to get out of the doors of the skating rink. I'd see that green 98 Oldsmobile out there. My dad'd be out there waiting on us. Not everybody's been raised like that. Sometimes people have been raised in family situations where somebody has lied against them. And like my nephew's situation, somebody has left them again and again and again. And because sometimes people struggle in how they were fathered, when they come over to the kingdom of God, sometimes it takes them a while. They've got to get in the book. They got to get their head in the book so that they can be assured of the love of God in Christ Jesus so that they can experience all that God has for them. And if not, they walk in fear. They walk in guilt. They walk in shame. They walk in condemnation. They can never forgive themselves if they don't fully understand the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Don't shrink back. And sometimes when someone's had a tough fathering situation, then they need extra help and encouragement because people can transfer the fatherhood of God, that sometimes they look at their own natural father and their own natural father didn't love them or didn't measure up or treated them bad or abused them. Then they have a hard time accepting sometimes the fatherhood of God. But the scripture says, what shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can be against us? Think about that for a moment. If God is for you, think about that. And what would happen even all of tomorrow if you let that thought dominate you? If God be for me, who can be against me? If God be for me. The scripture here in verse 31, 33, 34, it asks several questions. Who can be against us? Who dares accuse us? Who will condemn us if God be for us? What if this week you let that thought dominate your mind and your thinking? Romans chapter 8 is such a powerful blockbuster chapter in scripture, isn't it? Romans chapter 8 is something that as a Christian, this must be in your repertoire of scripture, of your arsenal of scripture. There are so many spiritual truths that are connected here in Romans chapter 8. In the earlier part of the chapter, we find this thought, let the Spirit control your mind. Let the Spirit control your mind. Well, and let me say this, because, you know, at verse 37, you've read verse 37, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Overwhelming. Somebody say overwhelming victory. Yeah, that's 37. But listen, the way we get to 37, the way we get overwhelming victory in our lives as believers, listen, early on in chapter 8, this thought is prevalent. Let the Spirit control your mind. Let the Spirit control your mind. And you can see that in verse 6. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Yeah, yeah. So the way we get to overwhelming victory, which is what God has for you and I, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation, no matter what the scenario, God has overwhelming victory for you and I. And not only that, oh man, when negative things do happen, oh man, we've got victory. We've got victory. We've got victory assured. You know, look at verse 28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. God causes, think about that. We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called to his purpose for them. Wow. I said, God is the God of the turnaround. He knows how to take negative things that happen in our lives and turn them around. Man, I encourage you, if you didn't hear Pastor Rob's message this morning about the storms of life, it was a great, great message. If you didn't hear that message, you need to get that message and listen to that message. Listen, God, the scripture here says in verse 28, God, he knows how to take things that were perpetrated as negative toward us and turn them around for something good. I've been in situations in my life where someone's tried to get me, I'm not talking about here at the ministry, but you know, working in business in the years before coming to ministry, somebody's trying to get me fired and just doesn't like the fact I'm a Christian and that. And man, I've seen such negative things done, but I tell you, then I've seen God turn it all around, and a year later, I'm everybody's boss in there. I've had employees ask, how'd you do that? Looked like they were out to get you. And now you come back a year later, you're the boss. You're the senior manager. I said, I couldn't do that. We serve a great God in heaven. And he's a faithful God. But how many know faith works by love? Yeah. We appropriate the things that God has done for us by faith. But faith also works by love. And so what are you saying here? So I'm saying here in the early, if we look at the early chapters of this, the early verses of this chapter, we see and can connect them to, if God is for us, who can be against us? The number one thing is, let the Spirit control your mind. That's verse 6. You can see that. Let the Spirit control your mind, Romans 8, 6. But then if you look at Romans 8, 11, my thought is, let the Spirit control your body. The Bible says if the same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, then he'll quicken your mortal body. The Lord knows how to quicken your mortal body. I said, I wish I had an amen. I said, tomorrow morning when it's time to get up and go to work, you need to let the Lord quicken you. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is down on the inside of you. And if you'll trust God, he knows how to quicken you. He knows how to give you the strength and the energy that you need for the day. And if you'll trust him and tap into that, he'll give you the ability and the strength that you need to carry out your day, whatever duties you have, he'll quicken you. Now we know this, there's a great day coming, our day of redemption during the rapture. He's going to quicken all of our mortal bodies and we're going to disappear and meet him in the clouds. Anybody looking forward to that day? But until that day, the Holy Ghost is down on the inside of you and I, and he will quicken us every single day. So what was your first thought? Listen, let the Spirit control your mind. What was your second thought about this chapter? Let the Spirit quicken your body. That's verse 11, right? And then thirdly, let the Spirit lead you in your spirit. You know, that's verse 14. Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. But if we'll do those three things according to this chapter, let the Spirit control our mind, let the Spirit, or our thoughts, you know, let the Spirit quicken our body, and let the Spirit lead us down in our spirit, then we can ask that question. If God is for us, who can be against us? And God can take every situation we face and turn it around for our good. You know, there was a man in Scripture, and he went through this struggle of trusting God, of hearing the words of God, and then struggling to believe everything God said. It sounds so wonderful. Could it all be true? The way God loves you, could it all be true? People sometimes struggle, you know, understanding that they're free, that they're forgiven. Micah 7:19 says, you know, God takes our deepest sins and he takes our sins, throws them into the deepest ocean, never to remember anymore. Micah 7:19. Yeah. And yet there are people who carry the burden and the guilt of that. Pastor Tad did a wonderful job a couple weeks ago teaching on that. Guilt and shame. But listen, if we're going to be strong in our faith, if we're going to not shrink back, then we're going to have to allow the Holy Spirit to control our dominant thoughts. We're going to have to let the Spirit quicken our bodies. We're going to have to let the Spirit lead us down in our spirit. But Gideon went through this struggle. Go with me real quick. Let's go to Judges real quick. Go with me to Judges. And Gideon had this struggle. Because an angel of the Lord appears to him in verse 12 of chapter 6. Gideon, Judges, chapter 6, verse 12. It says, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, mighty hero, or mighty man of valor, some scriptures say, the Lord is with you. And verse 13 is Gideon's response. Sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites. And then the Lord turned to him and said, go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I'm sending you. Verse 15. But Lord, Gideon replied, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I'm the least in my entire family. And the Lord said to him, I will be with you. And you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man. So Gideon struggled initially to believe all of the things that God was saying. God called him a mighty man of valor. He didn't believe that. God said, go in the strength that I'm supplying and defeat Midianites. He didn't believe he could do that. He was so tied to who he was in the natural. He said, I'm from the least clan, and my family's the least in that clan. I'm the least in the family. He was so tied to his limitations in the natural. But I came here tonight to tell you, if God be for you, I said, if God be for you, then who can be against you? And as we follow Gideon's story into chapter 7, the Lord finally convinces him to go and fight against the Midianites. And look at chapter 7, verse 2. The Lord said to Gideon, you have too many warriors with you. If you let all of you fight the Midianites, the Israelites will boast to me they saved themselves by their own strength. You know what that tells me? God loves it when we give him all the glory. I wish I had a bigger amen than that. When God blesses you, you ought to give him all the glory. I said, when God lifts you up, you ought to give him all the glory. Sometimes when God blesses people, they act like, well, I did that. You know, it was my education that did that. You know, well, you do know I've been to Rhema. You know, I've been to Rhema. Yeah, no, listen, it was God who did that. Somebody said, yeah, you know, yeah, my education got me that job. No, God got you that job. You living where you're living because God blessed you. You're driving what you're driving because God blessed you. You living in Christ at the level that you're living because God blessed you. You came up out of sin because God blessed you. Everything you have is because God blessed you. You didn't do it yourself. God did it for you. And if God hadn't do it, if God hadn't did it, then you'd still be back there struggling. I wish I had a bigger amen. I'm looking for somebody tonight, not ashamed to say, Lord, you did it for me. Lord, you opened the door. Lord, it was you who blessed me. Lord, you took care of me. Lord, you are the one who lifted me up. Lord, you are the one who made a way out of no way. When there was no way, you made a way. It was you and nobody but you, and I'm not ashamed to give you the glory for what you've done for me. I'm going to tell it. I'm going to tell it like it's supposed to be told. I'm going to tell it that you're good in the morning. I'm going to tell it that you're good in the afternoon. I'm going to tell it that you're good in the evening. I'm going to tell it that you will bring me out. I said, he's a mighty good God, and he can bring you out of whatever you're going through. But sometimes we need to learn how to give him the glory. And God said, you got 32,000 men, Gideon. You got too many. Because I know this is going to happen at the end. I'm going to give you the victory, but you're not going to give me the glory. And he said, go to the 32,000 and tell all 32,000, anybody who's afraid, go home right now. And 22,000 soldiers got up and went home. And then Gideon looked, there were still 10,000. But you know what the Lord told him? He said, you got too many. You got 10,000 soldiers, but when I give you the victory with 10,000, you're not going to give me the glory for it. I'm still looking for the glory. And he said, take those 10,000 down to the river. And he said, let them break them into two different groups and tell them to take a drink and watch their military style. And one group, they got down and just lapped up water. The Bible says, like a dog, they put their heads down. They weren't being sensitive to what was around them. They weren't following any type of military protocol. They just put their heads down and they just started drinking directly out of they kneeled down and started drinking out of the stream. The other group, they scooped up water in their hands and they were paying attention to what was going on around them. And God said, the people who lap water like a dog, send them home. And 9,700 people had to be sent home out of that group. And when God got done, there was only 300 people left. And God said, now I got you right where I want you. And sometimes when we see that we're outnumbered, we begin to think with a natural mind. But I came to tell you tonight, if God be for you. I said, if God be for you. I said, if God be for you down there on the job, then who can be against you? I said, if God be for you in your family, then who can be against you? I said, if God be for you with your finances, then who can be against you? I said, if God be for you in what you're doing, hey, who can be against you? You and God are a majority. And God said, take those 300 men. Gideon said, God, I had 32,000 men. You took me down to 300. God said, you're still a majority. With me, you're still in the majority. And you know the rest of that story. God took those 300 men. You can read the rest of that in there. He took those 300 men, and with those 300 men, down to verses 21 and 22, man, he delivered Israel from the Midianites with 300 men. And you know what they did? They gave God all the glory. If God be for you, there's been so many times in my life, and I thank God that he bought me out. I thank God for the night being in that FedEx plane, headed down that runway, right, coming out of Memphis, Tennessee, headed to Newark, New Jersey. And oh, my goodness, big old DC-10, you know my story. That thing took off in full throttle, and man, we were in full ascent, and all of a sudden, boom! And then that big DC-10 just started falling out of the sky. And all the computers were going off, and the captain was scrambling, and the first officer was scrambling, and the captain was yelling for the emergency landing book, and the first officer tried to get out of his seat to get it. The plane jolted to one side, and he flew to that side, and the book flew, and then he was trying to get the book in the cockpit, and they were trying to get that thing down. Oh, man. Brother Bill was praying in a brand new tongue. But if God be for you, I said, God can bring you through. Some of you have been in accidents. Some of you would not be here today if it hadn't been for God. There are others of us that are right here in this auditorium. You were hooked on drugs. You were strung out on drugs, alcohol, prescription pills. But if God be for you, we serve an awesome, awesome God. I felt so strongly in my spirit that we should allow ourselves to be dominated with this thought. If God be for us, who can be against us? Father, we've endeavored tonight in these few moments to share what you've laid upon our heart. And now we leave the word and the spirit with you for its application in the lives of each believer. If you be for us, who can be against us? Allowing the Holy Spirit to rein in our thoughts and control our dominant thoughts. And then, Father God, allowing the Holy Spirit to quicken our body, and then allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us down in our inner man, in our spirits, and then knowing that you'll turn every negative situation around for our good. If you be for us, you make us to be the majority. And just like you've delivered Gideon and countless millions and millions of others, you come to help us. Thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you for the way you shepherd us. If you be for us, who can be against us? No matter how insurmountable the circumstance, scenario, or situation, we trust you and we look to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. My friend, tonight, if you need prayer for anything, you want somebody to agree with you, come on forward. These prayer warriors coming down here, they're prayed up, ready to go. And this is their ministry. You want somebody to agree with you in prayer? Come on down. Let them pray with you. You won't leave here like you came. Remember, if God be for you, who can be against you? Anything before we go? Gentlemen, ladies, anything? Okay, all right. Well, God bless you. Be here Wednesday night, hour of power. Don't you shrink back. God bless you. We love you.